I want to go back now. We know where we are in the text, just at the moment of Jesus' arrest. I want to go back now and work with the text of the Eucharist. We know where it fits. You know, is it, our Lord took the bread and wine at that Last Supper, knowing that in a few hours he would be arrested, tortured, and killed. And the last gift he gives us is his body and blood. He gives us himself. And he says, you know, that he wants us, do this in memory of me. Now, remembering is a very specific thing biblically. It means to have the reality so present to you that you're different. Now, when we're at Mass and the body and blood, the bread and wine have been transformed into the body and blood, the Lord Christ is there, surrounded by angels and saints, maybe even, and we too. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Now, what does that mean? To remember is to carry something and make it present to you. That's what it means biblically. Now, there's a very fine book by Father Léon Dufour on many of these aspects. And I'm going to rely on him for a good deal, or at least part of his he makes this remark, for instance, the purpose of this account of the institution of the Eucharist is not directly to relate an episode in the life of Jesus, but to proclaim an action. Just as in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul does this. This is our Lord's last will and testament, but unlike anybody else, he can leave it in a way that he's always present with it. Okay? A farewell discourse in antiquity could have 12, four basic elements, and then another 8. A man recognizes that his death is near. He addresses a well-defined audience. It is a discourse of encouragement and exhortation, and to live uprightly. And then there's an account of his death and burial. Now, sometimes there are other elements in this. The speaker uses his life as an example, a prophetic vision of the future. Setting for the discourse may be a meal, kisses, embraces, tears, advice about burial, appointment of a successor, and so forth. These are things that happen at this last discourse, biblically. Another example is Paul's address in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, chapter starting with verse 17. He's at Miletus, and he gives this farewell discourse. But I want to take a look at our Lord's farewell discourse because it's still present with us. He's still here, consecrating. I take his place. I don't take his place. I'm his human instrument, but it's the Lord Christ who consecrates with the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And it is continuing what he did for us at the Last Supper. Now, the scholars will tell us correctly that there are two traditions, the Antiochian and the Palestinian. Of course, they're the same, but they have different accents and once in a while different wording. And just as the Exodus was preceded by a meal, so the crucifixion, the Exodus of our Lord from this life. And in Luke, at the Transfiguration, when Elijah and Moses are with him, Luke says they were discussing his exodus, his own passing from this world, his own exodus. So the exodus was preceded by a sacred meal, which foretells and symbolizes immediate future and becomes a memorial for everybody else. So the Last Supper is a prophetic gesture. As a sign, it looks forward. As a cultic gesture, it is a memorial that looks back and forward and concentrates both the past and the future in the present. The difference is that the Eucharist is not a memorial of an action, but of a person. Jesus is there, not just his actions remembered by us. He's there. That's his body and his blood. He's present there. Jesus, who because of the action is transformed and with God and also with the community, the brethren, and he binds us together. So, at Mass, when the priest says, "This is my body, this is my blood," it's the Lord Christ speaking, because he's there, already there, in his word, in the prayers, and now in bread and wine. So kind to give us food, which is his body and blood, to live by. So, you see, they must, these words of the over the bread and over the wine, they must be understood. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it. And this is a relational statement. This is my body for you. Take this, eat this. This is my body for you. See, we have a beautiful ceremony surrounding this, and we get so used to it, we're not awed by the fact that just as at the Last Supper, but now in a fulfilled way, remember our Lord said, "I won't drink of the fruit of this vine again till I drink it with you fulfilled in the kingdom." That's what happens at the Mass. And so, and they must be understood in the context of the gestures. He blessed, he broke, he gave. Bless, break, give. Those are the gestures. This is my body. Always in a relational way. The Palestinian tradition has, take this. The Antiochrean, this is my body for you. This is the bread as blessed, broken, and shared, removed from the realm of the ordinary for you. You see, this is my body for you. It's always relational. If we're at Mass, let's try to remember. You see, the priest is saying these words, but they're the words of the Lord Christ himself. And that's why they have this power. My body. My body is my presence to history. And Jesus is always present to history because we are his body. But this Eucharist is him in his body, mystically, but really, in the bread and in the wine. He said, "This is my body." He didn't say, "This stands for my body." "This is my body. Take it. Eat it. Drink it." Now, there are prophetic gestures like this. Especially Jeremiah, digging a hole in the wall and going through, saying, "This is going to happen to all of us." So these gestures participate in and bring about a future action of God. So far this would mean this signifies and represents my body. But then the mimetic action of Jesus, the imitating of that, requires for its completion a corresponding action of those at table with him. Meaning what? Take, eat, take, drink. It's not complete unless that happens, you see. The interlocutor, that's us, must accept the performative statement, "This is my body," and agree to give to the signifier, bread, a meaning different from its natural meaning. And then I have a beautiful text here from Gilbert Durand. Bread is a symbol. but it's a real symbol. Now, Durand has a book, Symbolique, I forgot the whole title of it, Gilbert Durand. But anyway, in keeping with its etymology, symbol means to throw together. It affects a union and not simply a juxtaposition, as in the case of allegory. It's a union between this and that, brought to this incredibly intensity that this bread is his body. This wine is his blood. You see? Now, Durand, the mimetic action of Jesus, now this is me now, I guess, requires for his completion a corresponding action of those at table with him. That might be Leon Dufour. The interlocutor must accept the performative statement of Jesus, "This is my body," and agree to give to the signifier, the bread, a meaning different than its natural meaning. Why do I do that? This is not bread. This is the body of Christ. Why do I do that? Because Jesus told me it is, and told us, whom he ordains, do this. That's why. You see? And so then, I want to read this quote by Gilbert Durand. The bread is a symbol. Now is the quote. In keeping with its etymology, a symbol effects a union, and not simply a juxtaposition, as in the case of allegory, between a sensible image and a reality that cannot be grasped by or confined within discursive language, but can only be experienced. A symbol is a representation that brings to light a hidden meaning. It is the epiphany of a mystery, a sign, which leads the mind to a signified that is ineffable and invisible, and which is therefore compelled to embody in a concrete way what it cannot grasp directly. Now that is any symbol. But Jesus takes this bread, which he makes a symbol, and makes it an abiding, actual symbol. It is no longer bread, even though it has the accidents of bread. You know, you can feel it, you can touch it. This is the body of Christ. The real body of Christ. Heavenly. The statement of Jesus, therefore, is symbolic, meant to establish a community which will survive the death now threatened the speaker. Jesus lives on in heaven. He lives on in us. He lives on in us through the Eucharist. Take, eat. This is my body. Do you hear the urgency? Do you hear the love? The saints fall down in awe when they're near the Eucharist. In awe. And in longing, St. Catherine of Siena used to say, "Lord, this is such a gift, such as you are with me. But how long do we have to come do this in symbol? I want to see you. I want to take you into me." That's the saints. And the Eucharist is meant to prepare us for that. Huh? The Eucharist is not complete until we obey him. Take, eat, take, drink. We have to take, eat, take, and drink before it's really Eucharist. We just can't look at it. We can in prayer sometimes, but the Eucharist is meant to be taken and taken in, because it is not the bread and wine. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, risen and glorious, you know, adored by the saints and the angels in heaven. All right, we're going to stop and change and go on a bit more.